look at the part. We only get excited, Brother Jason, about the part where fire came down and consumed the sacrifice. We forget the trip up Mount Carmel. Elijah, as he had to make up his mind, he knew he was going where there was someone that wanted his head on a platter. He was going into the lion's den. Brother Rick, it wasn't a bunch of pit bulls. He was going in to the pit where the lion was. And he was surrounded as he gets up to the top of the mountain. The whole time, Brother Jason, I know how we as mankind, human nature is. We always try to figure out a different way, Brother Justin, to make it happen without it impacting us in such a bad way. And as he walks up Mount Carmel, as he's headed up there, they're going to have a showdown. He's probably thinking to himself, man, I sure wish the Lord would send a host of his army down here and go ahead and wipe all these people out so I don't have to deal with it, so I don't have to try and minister to them, or I don't have to try and run from them. He was one man. He didn't even bring anybody with him because he called on them to help bring up the water. So many times up the mountain we go because there is a mountaintop experience that's available to us. But so many times as we climb the mountain, we find so many reasons to hesitate. Now, what happens if you're in the drive-through line at Wendy's or Brahms, wherever your favorite place to stop is, and you're supposed to be ordering, and you sit there, and you hesitate? What happens after you tell the individual, give me just a minute, and you are quiet, and you're still quiet, and all of a sudden they say, sir or ma'am, is there something I can assist you with to help, you know, you get your order in? But if they don't get on to you, the guy behind you is for sure going to let you know you're at the hamburger place where they serve hamburgers or chicken or ice cream. There's not that many choices. It's either a number one or a number 10, whichever one your favorite is. But so many times we come to the house of God, we find so many reasons to hesitate. Oh, well, Brother Jason, I'm waiting on him to get off the base. And I'm waiting on Brother Robert to jump up on the platform and help everything to move and shake loose. I'm waiting on Brother John to come march around the church. I'm waiting on Sister London to grab up a Kleenex and start going around the altar. She didn't hesitate. She activated this morning. And I didn't tell her to do it. Sister Addison didn't tell her to do it when she was praying with her. Or Sister Arian, she did it by her own accord. What would happen if we didn't care what anyone else thought but God? So I want to give you a small definition here, short definition of halt, which is where we find here is a figuratively simply skip over, spare by implication to hesitate. Also, could also mean to literally limp, or become lame, or to simply pass over an opportunity. How many of us, when the power and the presence of God comes by, and we halt, we hesitate, and God tells us, Brother Jason, you need to jump, but we're like, but Lord, you know this leg, Sister Annie, this morning, as I was up on the drums, I felt the Holy Ghost tell me it's time to get off, so I got off. Brother Jason, I got back there in the corner, and I was like, well, Lord, I know what you want me to do. And I'm not going to hesitate. I'm going to activate. And I begin to jump, and I begin to run around in a circle, circling that mountain, circling whatever the problem may be, because I didn't care anymore, Sister Shelton, if someone else looked at me or laughed at me. I've watched as different ones up on the platform, amen, have simply struggled. All of a sudden they know God wants them to do something, and I see it in their hands, and I see it in their body movement. And then all of a sudden, hesitation is gone. It's no longer an option. The only option is to become activated. Be active with the presence of God. And all of a sudden, amen, there might be something hit the floor. There might be some moving in the congregation. What happens is we decide we're not going to leave lame, but we are going to leave healed. Amen. I'm here to tell you, God's got a purpose. God's got a plan, but it's up to us to walk therein. I shared a little bit of this in a devotion a couple months, a month and a half ago, I think. How many likes four-way stops? There's nothing worse than seeing someone halt. I've seen it my whole life. Who's supposed to go first if you both come to the stop sign at the same time? Anybody know this? The one to the right. That's why they call it the right of... It's amazing. You all know this. I'm going to quiz you whenever I see you at the stop sign next time. I see people all the time pull up to the stop sign. Come here, boys. Hurry. I'm going to give you an example. Grant, come here. All right, you stand right here. Right here. Here we go. Titus, you're right there. All right, you're right here. You're right here. We got us a four-way stop. All right. We all got here at the same time. Who's going to go first? Oh, no. Oh, he's not. No. What happens? Thank you, guys. Go ahead and... There becomes an incident. I see it all the time. No offense, ladies. I've seen so many times incidents almost happen because the lady pulls up to the deal and she's not paying a bit of attention. Guys are the same way, but I've noticed it a lot more in women, I guess. Pull up there. I know I'm treading on thin ice. It's already broken. And all of a sudden, halfway in the intersection, they realize, oh, it wasn't my turn. Well, I've done it too. We've all done it. I just like rattling my wife's cage. Or maybe it's my cage. I don't know. Amen. We get there, and all of a sudden, nobody knows what to do. But let me tell you, that is the enemy's goal. When the presence of God is moving, Brother Justin, he wants to create every kind of incident, distraction, all kinds of hesitation, because he wants to see us wrecked, not resurrected. He does not want to see us have a relationship. He wants to see us in ruin. He wants to see us hesitate and stop. And every time God asks us, why don't you move? I'm going to get on to the good part here. Definition of activate. I really like this. I wanted to just talk about just this. Activate simply means, this is one of the definitions, is to make a substance radioactive. Activate. When something becomes radioactive, everyone that comes in contact with that radioactive item is now contaminated. Why is it there was only a handful of men that shook the world, amen, by its feet, amen, and begin to shake it around like it was nothing? It's because they, amen, had been imbued with power from on high, and anywhere and everywhere they went, they caused someone to be active and no longer be hesitant, no longer looking at two opinions, but realizing that God is God and I will serve Him. Amen. Why was 3,000 souls added daily? Because men and women, amen, made a determination that they were going to be active, because that's who Christ is. But it takes us being willing to be radioactive. Because if someone has been exposed to radioactive material, they are, first thing that they are done is what? They're isolated. That's right. They are quarantined. Because they do not want them to infect anyone else. Oh, church. Why? Why did they take Paul and Silas, beat them, and throw them in a prison where he had a captive audience? They didn't know what they was doing. Brother Robert, why are you in Chelsea, Oklahoma, leading worship on the platform? It's because there's something that you got that's radioactive, that can't just be contained in your own life, but it's going to impact others. Why is it, Tate, that you're coming to church at Calvary Lighthouse and God asks you to do some things and you begin to do them? Because you want to be radioactive. Amen. I'm here to tell you tonight, quit hesitating when God says move. Amen. Move with him, because you'll never be sorry whenever someone is touched by your obedience. Hallelujah. 2 Kings 2:14. We skip on down. We find that Elijah has a great showdown on Mount Carmel. God shows forth in strength. Lo and behold, he gets downtrodden, discouraged. God lets him know there's somebody else out there that'll help you. His name, you can go ahead and leave it up there, Brother Tim. His name is Elisha. What do we find that happens? Elijah walks through the field. Come here, Isaac. This old boy's plowing. Here, get to plowing. And all of a sudden, the man of God just comes by and throws it on him, and walks the other way. And Elisha stops and's like, "What's this? Can't even see where I'm going. You stuck your coat on my head." Sometimes God comes and he wants to call you. And he gives it to you. Go there. We say, "Oh, I don't need that yet. I need to put that on the altar." And we keep walking. Keep going. And God gives it to us again. Here, throw it down over there. He ain't got time for it. He's following us all the way across the field. And we're leaving it behind. And we wonder why I've been so miserable lately. "Pastor, I need you to pray for me. I just can't seem to get through to heaven." We left the blessing that God wanted to bestow upon us. I'm not saying just the calling to preach. I'm talking about the calling to be a Christian. I'm talking about a call to be a worshiper. Amen. When you come into this house, you have a job to do. You are to lift up his name, no matter how pretty or how ugly your voice may be to yourself. It's glorious in God's ears. But we throw it down. Huh. Well, anything to do with that, Brother Charles? You're going to have me do a devotion during an encounter service before we do anything? What's the purpose in that? We've got to pick up. We've got to pick up the cloak. We got to pick up what God has tried to place on us, but we continue to toss it off. We find that Elisha made a decision to sacrifice everything he had. "Mom, Dad, sorry, I know you worked all your life to give me these oxen, but today they're an offering to the Lord. We're going to eat high on the hog, and I'm going to burn the plows too." We wonder why. Follow me for just a minute, folks. We wonder why we continue to struggle. We might have made the sacrifice, Brother Jason, of the fatted calf, of what was carrying our burden, but we still got the tools just as backup. Just in case this thing with Christ don't work out, I'll still have these. And what begins to happen is we begin to struggle. We find Elisha. He didn't do that. He burned it all, offered it up. We find here in 2 Kings 2:14, and he took the mantle. This is after Elijah was taken up in a whirlwind. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither. And Elisha went over. When he got over to the other side, he put the mantle on, and he met the 50 young men. Now, how many know that this was not the first group of 50? How many realize that? This was the second group. The first group at Bethel stayed behind. But the one, when he came to Jericho, they followed Elisha and said, "You know your master is going to be taken from you." He said, "Hush. Keep this quiet. I know." They followed him all the way to the riverbank. And when the water was smitten, they stayed on the other side. Now, Elisha had something he had to deal with the whole way. Elisha, the whole time that he went, every town that they came to, before Elisha ever received the mantle, Elijah asked Elisha to stay behind and tarry 3 different times. God will bless persistence. God will bless the faithful soul that does it no matter what it costs. Elijah turned to Elisha and said, "Tarry here." And Elisha said these words. It's in verse number 2. I don't know if I gave you that scripture, Brother Tim. But Elijah said unto Elisha, "Tarry here, I pray thee. The Lord hath sent me to Bethel." And Elisha said unto him, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." Every time Elijah told him to stay and tarry, he said, "I won't leave you." He said, "I'm done with you washing my hands, Elisha. I won't leave you." So many times God is calling us to a deeper walk and he's wanting to lead us, but all of a sudden the Spirit will check us to see how true we really are. And I have done it myself. Shamefully, time and time again, when the power of God was moving. Brother Jason and I went past the first tarry. I followed him to Bethel. And he said, "Won't you tarry here?" And sometimes I've tarried there, Sister Pepper, and I've seen others get blessed beyond measure because they went on. But I can tell you, every time that I go on past and I push on through, I don't hesitate when he says stop, because he's still moving. If he's moving, I'm moving with him. Why was it every time God would move that pillar of fire or that cloud that the children of Israel would back up everything and move on? Because they knew that's where the active power of God was at. We must remember that the ones that received the greatest gifts was the ones that would press all the way till they were asked. Notice this. It didn't happen until they crossed over the bank of that river that Elijah turned to Elisha and said, "What is it you want?" He said, "I want a double portion." And then they continued to walk on. And then the chariot took him away. But what happens if we don't persist, if we don't follow, as long as God or the man of God is moving, we should be following him. We should be saying, Lord, I'm right here. Do you need anything? Would you like a glass of water? Would you like me to say amen? Would you like me to stand up? Would you like me to run? Would you like me to say hallelujah? We're showing that we're active. Amen. Something that is active is something that is alive. He went all the way until his request was heard. How blind Bartimaeus called out to Christ. Everyone around him told him to be silent. But every time they told him to be quiet, what did he do? He lifted his voice even higher and said, Son of David, have mercy on me. When's the last time that you went three rounds with the devil? When's the last time even that you were willing to go until the master stepped into the ring? So many times we're ready to quit at the first sign of trouble or a struggle. But I'm here to tell you, don't hesitate. Activate. Amen. Begin to be somebody that God can call on. And you say, Lord, here am I. The woman with the issue of blood crawled on the ground till she touched the hem of his garment. So many times we look at the ground and say, that's such a low place to be. How would I ever go down to that point? He can come to where I'm at. Sometimes we need to have the desire, as Zacchaeus did, as short as he may have been. He said, I'm going to climb up in this tree until I see Jesus. Amen. I had no intention of meeting him, just seeing him. And all of a sudden, amen, the Prince of Priests walked on the scene and said, I'm going to your house. Amen. His whole house was saved. Amen. What would happen if we would be as the men, the four men that bore their friend, would go to a place that's full and say, well, the house is full, but the roof is empty. We're going to go up and go to work. Here tonight, there's individuals under the sound of my voice. Amen. You might need to be carried, but look at your neighbor and say, I got to have, amen, a little help to become active again. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I need to be done. But it's okay. Sister Pepper, I'll wait till next Sunday. Church dinner. I'll be more spiritual then. Pastor, I'll wait till I'm here, I'm at church, but I want to wait to become active till camp meeting. Young people, I'm going to preach to my young people for a minute. I'll just wait till youth camp. We're all only just getting in when it's encounter service. Well, Charles, I'm only going to get in when someone's there behind me, patting me on the back, telling me, you can make it. Go on. Go a little farther. Don't hesitate. Activate here tonight. It's been said tonight, today is the day of salvation. That scripture comes from 2 Corinthians 6:2. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now, everybody say now, is the accepted time. Now, say it with me again, now. Today is the day. Anybody know what salvation means? When you're saved from something, you are no longer in past situation. You are now a new creature. You are now being risen from the dead and brought to life in Christ, which means you, what if something is dead? Is it mobile? Is it moving? Something dead usually what? Stinks. How's your spiritual man smelling tonight? We have got to be active. now. Today is the day to be active, not tomorrow, because tomorrow could be too late. Today is the day of salvation. Let me tell you, if there's anybody here underneath the sound of my voice that doesn't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is the place for you. And let me tell you, you won't be alone. Brother Titus, come here. Amen. You won't be alone when you come to this place, because there are people that's going to surround you, amen, about the altar that has a desire to see life restored. Amen. And let me tell you, what does life restored look like? It's somebody that gets up with a new look on their face. Amen. We've seen that here in this house. Amen. We've went back and looked in the mirror and said, who is that guy? Who's that gal? I'm here to tell you, whenever we make a decision, it'll be the best one you ever made when you give yourself to Him. Let me tell you something, church. There's things that we begin to be active in that we should quit. We should quit doing some of these things because we think, oh, it's okay. I think it's okay to quench the Spirit. Let me tell you something. You'll only be able to shrug off that conviction so many times before he quits coming around. What happens if you're going out with somebody and they say, hey, I'm going to send you some flowers tomorrow, and the flowers never come? Hey, I'm going to come by and pick you up at 8 o'clock, but you never come by. No excuse. No reason why. What's going to happen to that relationship? It's going to die. Even in marriages today, if I did not do things for my wife to show my affection, she would think another had it. London especially, the moment I quit doing something for her, she's like, Dad, hello, it's me over here. Well, I'm putting words in your own mouth here. See, she's so good at it. Am I your number one? She asked me this the other day. She's like, Dad, am I your number one? I said, well, honey, you know, I mean, mom was my number one. You know, you came along later. And she's like, well, but when I came along, I became your number one. Man, you got me wrapped right around there, Sister Cindy. I want to talk to us here for just a minute. And I'm fixing to close, honey, if you get something together. In just a minute. There's been some mantles. Here, let me see that sweater right there, honey. I felt this in my spirit this morning to bring this out. With the Lord's help, I'll make it through this. There has been men and women that have come to this church that are no longer in these pews. Brother Jason, when they went away, there was something that was left behind. Brother Jason, I've been looking. Pastor, I've been watching. Saying, is there anybody that's going to grab the mantle? A Sister Angie left behind. Is there anybody that's going to pick up the mantle? A Brother Mike Price left behind. Sister Pepper, I've got my mantles. I've picked up several. The Lord gave me this message all those months ago. I had no idea how many of us would, Sister Cindy, be hesitant about picking up something somebody else left behind, because we feel so inadequate to pick it up. I'm here to tell you tonight that there is males that are here on this altar, are here on this floor. They're in them pews that you set around. And I ask myself, Lord, is there anybody that wants to be active? Elijah wasn't. Elisha wasn't satisfied with looking at Elijah and saying, I want to do just what you did. But I want to do more. How many here knows a prophet that died and had a miracle after he was already gone? When that old soldier boy's body hit the bones of that prophet, come bouncing right back up out of there, Sister Annie, because there was power there. In bones, Brother Robert was radioactive. When somebody walks, if God chooses not to come back in my lifetime, I want when my little girl decides to take some of her own children to show where her daddy lays, when they walk over that grave, Brother Robert, that the power of the Holy Ghost is still active because of what I decided to pick up and be active and used by God. Is there anybody out there that wants to pick up the mantle tonight? Let me tell you, the people that I just briefly spoke of, those people that would encourage me. Well, Justin, whenever I was tired and I was done, I think of Brother French, Brother Steve. I can remember as a child going over to the church that he attended and how he would lay his hand upon the forehead or the shoulder of a child praying and would whisper a prayer in their ears, and all of a sudden joy would take over as they put on their children production all over the U.S., the lives that it touched. Think of Brother Bill White. I have a voicemail from him that I've got in my phone. Called me when he was headed to Mexico, said, Brother Sanders, this is Bill White here. I'm going to Mexico and I don't get good service over there. I want you to know that I'm praying for you and I love you. That's the last thing I ever heard from Brother White. I think there, as I was having Christmas with my family, and Brother Mike pocket dialed me. Brother Matthew, I thought, he's been getting better. Picked up the phone and talked to him. We prayed. We laughed and we chuckled. And he said, if I don't get healed over here, I'll be victorious no matter what. I look at the mantles, Brother Chasen, that has been dropped in 2021. There's many of us in here. We might not be called to preach, but we could be called to so much more. Hear this preacher's heart for just a minute. When we come up here, Brother Charles, and we have our encounter service, it's not about encountering Brother Lucas, Sister Lindsay, or Brother Charles. Come to encounter him. Here tonight, and this service has taken a lull here right now, the Holy Ghost has spoken to different ones. What are you going to do about it? Well, I'm old and feeble. I can't do it. I've got health problems. We find every excuse in the book to hesitate. I've been guilty of it. Well, the church is staying. I'm going to have a completely different altar call than I've, than I've made. I'm going to put you on the spot. I want to ask you guys a question. I'd like for you to raise your hand. How many of you guys want to go to heaven? We all do. Not a one of us wants to go to hell. Now comes the second question. This one's not as easy, Pastor. How many of us are really willing to pick up the mantle? I don't want you to raise your hand. Thank you, honey. She'd do anything I asked. Because she loves me. We have that same love for the Father tonight. I want every eye closed and every head bowed, and I want to make a specific altar call, and I want you to come out of your pew, and I want you to come and stand along the front of this sanctuary. If you are willing to pick up a mantle, no matter what color the mantle is, no matter what task it may ensue, no matter what challenges may come with it, I want you to come, and I want you to come to the front right now. No matter what it is, if you're willing to say yes, just simply come right now. Don't hesitate. Activate. Because let me tell you something, church. Whenever we find ourselves in a position, we say, Lord, I want that mantle. No matter what comes with it. Because, Lord, I want to please you. I might not know what it is, but, Lord, I'm showing that I'm willing to say yes. Yes.